Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're talking this week about really spiritual combat, talking specifically about what Scripture and the Catechism teaches us about the return of the Lord. What's going to happen in the world? What are the signs? What are the things that Scripture teaches us, Jesus spoke about, the apostles spoke about, that will precede his return? Beginning Monday, I just talked about the two major ones, that is the great apostasy and then the rise of the Antichrist. And then Tuesday began to build on that, looking again more deeply at Paul, but also at the Catechism. I'd recommend just reading the section of the Catechism. There's three paragraphs there, 675, 76, and 77, 676 and 677, that kind of unfolds the church's explanation, echoing the teaching of the Scripture. So the church's catechism helping us understand what's meant by Paul and Peter and Jesus' teaching regarding these signs that Jesus said will appear and these historical realities will begin to unfold before his return. The reason to think about it is, one, it's just part of the faith, and it's something that it's important for us to know. It's something that Paul was urgent about. Jesus, the latter part of the teaching of Matthew's gospel, Luke's gospel, the Lord is very strong communicating the kind of signs, the remote signs and the proximate signs that will be indicators of his return. And the fact that we're living through, whether it's the actual apostasy that's leading to the return of the Lord, you know, some people say it is, but only the Lord knows. It clearly is a kind of dress rehearsal for that, because we are experiencing a mass apostasy. It's actually happening in the world, in the church. So that sign is present. And there's certainly an Antichrist spirit, as the recent popes have described and spoken about, that's very visible, very present. Whole cultures are changing. Whole peoples are changing. Fundamental realities are changing. I had a conversation the other day with a really good friends of mine, about kind of the emphasis of things that I, Peter Herbeck, like to talk about, and why do I talk about them? And one of the things I talk about a fair amount, besides the lordship and majesty and the ascension of Christ, the rule of Jesus, the beauty and majesty of Jesus, you know, I do talk a lot about on the show because I think it's so important for us to be able to see and to know who Christ really is. But also I talk a lot about the family and human sexuality, because there's the big battlefield. That's, you might say, the beachhead that the enemy has gone after now for decades and has looked to disorder human sexuality at a major level, and for the purpose of breaking down the family. And the purpose of breaking down the family is to deconstruct the icon of God. In the natural, God reveals himself in nature, and that God is a communion of persons. Humanity was created to be a communion of persons. God is a communion of persons that is life-giving, and the self-donation of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit that produces life. The human family is the fundamental image and icon of the very nature of God. And the father and mother and the complementarity and the together male and female communicate very profound realities about who God is. And their self-donating love leads to bringing about eternal creatures. So this is the core and the foundation of God's plan for the human race, and it's under assault. And by deconstructing the family, this icon, this image of God, and living in it, it makes it very difficult for the story of God and God's plan, you know, from Genesis to Revelation, to make sense to people. As the meaning of human sexuality, theology of the body, male, female, all that stuff gets broken down, then the imaging that the icon produces gets deconstructed and gets blurred and confused, and lies are able to just kind of sweep away the church's vision, the beautiful vision God has given his people in the church about the meaning of human sexuality. So talking about it is really, really important, because this is the battlefield today. And there's all kinds of dimensions of it. There's ways in which people in the church and the broader culture, from beginning with embracing contraception, no-fault divorce, the rise of pornography, fornication, adultery, homosexuality, now the trans stuff, I mean, it just, the dominoes just keep falling. And it's important for us to see the whole strategy of the enemy and what he's trying to do and why he's trying to do it. And one of the things that you also see in a society that pushes God from the human horizon, again, as Pope Benedict, Father Francis Martin, others have said so articulately, that when human beings do that, push the light of God away, darkness begins to set in, the human heart comes under fear. And when it comes under fear, it's restless. And when there's no answer to that restlessness because there is no God, despair begins to set in, unhappiness, loneliness. And human beings try to find ways to be happy and to feel and to kind of escape the pain that they're feeling. So you see the rise of opiates again. You just see all kinds of ways of escape, perpetual television and every kind of movie and entertainment and phones and things that can distract us 24/7 and keep the mind distracted, keep things, you know, titillated, to be stimulated in different kind of ways. And here's one of the reasons why sexuality is going bonkers, because there's no more powerful natural reality for people to experience a kind of ecstasy and just leaving themselves for a moment and experience an intense pleasure than in human sexuality, the expression of sex. And so this is significant. This is why the devil's trying to manipulate it. It's instead of it being a central place of freedom and imaging of God and God's plan, it becomes an enslaving reality, an addictive reality, because it's been perverted. And so this is why we need to talk about these things, friends, and we need to keep an eye on it and not just drift with the culture and just start agree with one domino after another as they fall, right? These are all expressions of a fundamental fight over the meaning, ultimately, of human nature and the family and God's plan for his creation. That's the devil's strategy, is to get after that. So here we go. So the Catechism I talked yesterday was 675, the paragraph where the Catechism underlines the fact that the church will go through a final trial. She lives in trial, in time and in history, against the kingdom of darkness and a fallen world, but there will be a final and the most intense trial the church has ever faced is yet before us. No question about it. It's very clear from what Jesus said, very clear from what the apostles say. It's going to be led by Satan, and an antichrist figure that rises, that he empowers and rises in history, and a great deception, huge deception is going to come upon the world. And my concern, friends, is that deception is making its way into the church in a significant way in our time. And the centerpiece of it, never forget this, Jesus said, I'm the truth. I'm the way to God, the only way. I am the truth. To see Jesus is to see the truth about all the things that matter. The meaning of life, who is God, who is man, what are we here for, where can we find happiness, where can salvation be found, what is goodness, what is true goodness, what is truth, beauty, and goodness. Jesus is the source and the revelation of that truth. An allegiance to Jesus is the central battle that goes on. So you see today's studies that are being done, the Ligonier study, where large numbers of Catholics, you know, big, big study. They're asked true-false questions. And one of the true-false questions, I mentioned this, I think, a few weeks ago, was Jesus is a great moral teacher or the greatest moral teacher, but he's not God. Well, 66% or 68% of Catholics said that was a true statement, that he was not God. And they're either Arians or Gnostics, and they don't even know it. Why? Because they're absorbing the pressure that's coming. Yet just don't get too excited about the claims of Christ, the exalted, unique, definitive claims of Jesus, the truth claims of Christ. Why? Because those edges are just a little too sharp, and it causes division, and we need a Christ that's going to, you know, work for everybody in the world, because we know everybody's already a kind of Christ. And then along comes a book like the one by Richard Rohr, the book on the universal Christ that came out last year, which just has, it's Gnostic, period. I mean, there's just clear, he'll say it's Catholic, but it's not Catholic. There's stuff in it that's clearly Gnostic. And his focus is on the original creation and the stamp of God's identity on us, and that's the Christ is in everybody and remove the fall. Jesus came to say all you need to do is remove the false self and recognize the Christ in you. And there's a lot to be said. I should probably do some shows just on that book. But what ends up happening is, and what's creeping up in the church is, the distinctive, absolutely unique, and total claims of Jesus Christ as King and Lord of all, the final word, the first and the last, the judge, the Lamb of God who alone takes away the sins of the world, who's the only means of salvation for the world. All that is just, there's voices in the church, even high voices in the church, sort of softening that, trying to obscure it. Why? Because we're gonna have a harmony with the world. We're going to create a harmony. This is part of the deceptive strategy the catechism and Paul is talking about. There's a false religion that's emerging. It's going to be global. And it's going to lead to, there's a false justice movement as well that's emerging. And this allegiance to what? To spiritual values. And at the center of the spiritual values is going to be the goodness of human beings and how good we all are. And just let's just acknowledge all that. And that goodness is acknowledged in each of us being able to recognize that we each have the power to define truth, to define goodness and freedom and what is beautiful, what is not. And we're going to affirm all that. In the meantime, the more immoral the society becomes, the culture starts calling evil good. Now, assisted suicide is a good. It's an act of love. Abortion is a good. It's an act of love. Extramarital sex is a good. It's another act of love, an expression of freedom and honesty and all this kind of stuff. And homosexual acts are good, and they're moral acts, and they're expressions of love. All kinds of things, friends, we could list. Or even, let's shift over to something like unlimited greed. Like, just, it's just Christians just being like the world in terms of how we think about our money, how we use our money, materialism that's present, right? How we treat our neighbors. Like, we make a way for whatever we want and we affirm it. And the new spirituality that's emerging is going to be able to say yes to all those things and to affirm those things. And as it gets more intense, the one who really wrecks the party is the one who says, no, Jesus Christ is the Lord. He's the only Savior of the world. He's the one who reveals to us the way, the truth, and the life. And to oppose him is wicked, is evil. And to set up a religion that doesn't acknowledge him, that doesn't acknowledge God and the real God, the God the Father that sent Jesus, if it's not a religion that doesn't acknowledge it, then that, friends, is a revelation of the nature of the battle that we're fighting. There's tremendous pressure to move away from the distinctive claims of Christ, the Messiah that the Lord God the Father said he has set upon the throne, that judgment belongs to the Son. People say, I can't, we're not going to be free and live in harmony and have peace in the world if there's too much focus on all those distinctive claims of Christ and the great commission the church has been sent on to make that known. God bless you, friends. Have a good day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Fear God and Give Him Glory. The scripture says the fear of God is a fountain of life. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's the source of delight and a much needed grace for our time. For a free copy of Fear God and Give Him Glory, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.